Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy day, period. Because God is on the throne and Jesus is still Lord. And the devil is still defeated, okay? Praise God. So, I've had a lot of Mother's Days. And, of course, each one you think is, well, you know, this could be the last one. But, and for me, 3 years ago when I had a stroke, that's what the devil tried to tell me, that was my last. Okay. We welcome the folks at the village with us today on the streaming setup. Praise God. Well, actually, this was not my idea to be here today. But back in December, the Lord clearly spoke to me, and I was inquiring as to when He wanted me, if He wanted me to speak next. And He says, well, I want you to start off with the first Sunday in January. Then I want you to speak the Sunday before your next birthday. And then I'd like you to do the message for Mother's Day. And I thought, okay, well, I don't really have to think about when I'm supposed to do it, because He clearly told me when He wanted. So anything that goes on today, hold God responsible for it, okay, because it was not my idea. But I'm grateful because my oldest granddaughter is here with me again this morning. And that means that my first great-grandson is in the children's church. And my youngest son, who is not so young anymore, the kid's hair is as gray as mine, and he has as many aches and pains that the enemy attacks him with as I do. But he wanted to come over yesterday to be with his mother for the weekend, and my oldest son will be here a little bit later. He had something else to do first thing this morning, but he will be here before noontime. I think that's what he was told. So it's very unfortunately my other grandchildren will not be here today because they're with their mothers in various places. So, but Jesus is here, and that's all that really matters. And so, you know, I'm really excited about being a Christian because on the, I don't know what day is it, 21st of May. When is that? A couple of weeks from today. Today's the 11th. Wednesday of next week. I will be able to join all of you in saying that, saying praises to God, because 70 years ago, on that date, when I was 7 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. And while I was, the message today is chance, choice, and consequences. Chances, choice, and consequences. Well, you know, every time you take a chance on something, and every time you make a decision, you choose something, you can expect to deal with the consequences that accompanies it. And so when I made that decision that day, 70 years ago, in another week or so, I want you to know that I haven't regretted it since now. I can't say that I have completely and fully served the Lord for the 70 years because I made some dumb choices. I took some crazy chances. And I suffered some miserable consequences like the rest of you. Okay? Yeah. You can't tell me you haven't had some consequences based on some of the... I was listening to those young people there and the various things that happened to them, and I think about how the Lord got me over. And I am so glad that that Sunday in First Calvary Baptist Church, Norfolk, Virginia, that he met me. It wasn't even my pastor. You've heard this story many times. But it wasn't even my pastor. It was a guest minister that was coming to, I almost said RLCC, but coming to First Calvary on a regular basis. Dr. Wendell Somerville from Washington, D.C. He was the secretary of the Lot Carey Convention. If you don't know what that is, Lot Carey was the first black missionary to Africa, I believe, to Liberia and Monrovia. And they had an organization called the Lot Carey Convention every year. And Dr. Somerville was the secretary of the Lot Carey Convention. And he came to First Calvary on a regular basis. And so I kind of knew him, and I always liked him as a preacher. He was not a hooper and a hollerer, but he was on point as far as the word was concerned. And even in my lack of knowledge at that time, you know how you know the difference when you're getting the word and when you're not getting it. And I knew that every time he appeared on the scene, I would hear more about Jesus than I had ever heard. I would hear more about the word of God than I had ever heard before. And so I was excited about having him come, because I always felt better after I heard him preach. But that particular Sunday morning, his message was from Matthew, the 6th chapter, and starting at around the 10th verse or so. And we all were taught the Lord's Prayer, because we were taught that was the Lord's Prayer. We found out years later that John 17 was really the Lord's Prayer. But Mr. Somerville, when he got down to the 11th verse of Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day, that's where he was, give us this day our daily bread. I'm a 7-year-old child sitting on the second row there. And I thought on the inside of me, and I guess I said it quietly, I didn't speak it out, but I wanted to know, why did I have to settle for daily bread? Why couldn't I get a week's supply, a month's supply, or a year's supply? And I knew nothing about the Holy Ghost. The only ghost we knew was Casper and a few others. And I lived not that far from a cemetery, so I avoided going past the cemetery as much as I possibly could, because that's where we expected to encounter any kind of ghost that we were going to run into. But anyway, I said on the inside of me, why do I have to settle for daily bread? Why can't I get a week's supply, a month's supply, or a year's supply? And as clearly as I'm speaking to you now, in fact, it may have been clearer, I heard this voice on the inside of me said, because I wouldn't hear from you until you had exhausted it all. And I need to be talking to you every day, and I'll need you talking to me every day. And I thought, that's strange. But I was wise enough not to share that with anybody for years, because I knew that it's a 7-year-old child. If I went around telling people that I had voices on the inside of me talking to me, I'm asking him questions and he's answering me, that they were going to put me off in a funny farm somewhere, you know, the children's local funny farm. And so I kept quiet. My mother happened not to be in church that day, and she was always in church. But it didn't matter whether she was in church or not. My brother and I were in church. There was no such thing as if mom stayed home, you stayed home. you went to church regardless, because what happened to her, she had fallen down a fire escape. And you know those fire escapes had iron steps. And she cut the front of her leg and she could barely walk. How she got home that day, that Friday, I don't know. But anyway, she decided not to go to church that Sunday morning, but we went anyway. And when he did the altar call, when Dr. Somerville did the altar call, with tears streaming down my face on both sides, I got up and walked to that altar. I wanted Jesus more. I don't know what else he preached that day, but I wanted Jesus more than anything in the world. And so I accepted Christ that day, and I was baptized that afternoon. In fact, when I went home, I said to my mother, "Guess what?" And she said, "What?" I said, "I joined the church today, and I accepted Christ, and I'm getting baptized this afternoon." And she said, "Well, I don't care how bad my leg is hurting. Somehow I'm going to get to that church this afternoon, because if you're going down in the water, I want to be there to see it when it happens." And I said, "Okay." And she did. She was there for the afternoon service, the baptismal service. And I think my mother and I on that day established a new relationship that just got better as the years went on. But it was one of the greatest decision chances and choices that I took in my life. And I'm living the consequences today. I was telling Rose this yesterday. Unfortunately, this afternoon, I won't be able to greet you in the lobby because the fact that I have to... one of my dear friends and the person who was the first third trustee here at RLCC when we started this church. We had to have three board members. And he was the first one. His name was Billy McClellan, is Billy McClellan. And I got word from Pastor Ed on Friday that James Rackley had called to say that Billy had died. And that, I mean, it was just frightening. Well, let me put it this way, not frightening, but very uncomfortable, because Billy was not, I mean, I expected to be gone long before Billy. Although I'm not that much older, I'm only about 4 years older than he is. But anyway, I wasn't going to go at first because Rose and I just came back from Arizona the other day. And I thought, do I want another long plane trip? But the family has been some, they were so supportive of Pastor Clinton and me when we were in Bible school. And many of the stories that I have told you about how we got surprise money sent to us. And I remember the first time I went to Guyan's house, and they had a beautiful home in Vancouver, swimming pool and marble bathrooms and all of the, I mean, the whole works. They love the Lord. And they never failed to give us their master bedroom. And Pastor Clinton had Billy's bathroom, and I had Diane's bathroom, and they used the bathroom back with the guest bedroom. And I was hanging my clothes up in the closet one day, when we first got there. And I saw this beautiful black velvet jacket. And I just kind of took it off the rack and held it up. And I knew there was no way in the world that jacket was going to fit Diane. She had just had her last child, little boy, that Pastor Clinton ended up eulogizing a year later. But anyway, I decided to try that jacket on. And it fit me perfect. And so I went in the kitchen and I said, "Di, whose jacket, black velvet jacket, is that?" And then I said, "I tried it on and it fits me perfect." She said, "Does everything, you can try everything in that closet." on. And if anything that fits you, you can take home with you. I had a whole new wardrobe. In fact, I had to borrow one of their suitcases to take my clothes home. I had so much because everything she had in there was, she had outgrown with the baby fat and all, and the way she could cook and eat. It just was no getting back in those clothes. And so God's been looking out for me for a long time where they were concerned. And somehow I just wasn't comfortable with the fact that Billy wasn't there because Pastor Clinton eulogized Johnny, their little son. I believe he drowned in the swimming pool. I was at the oldest daughter's wedding 20 years ago. Well, in fact, we both were. And then I went to the youngest daughter, who's an attorney now in Noblesville. Is that Ohio? Indiana, Noblesville, Indiana. I went to her graduation from Regents University. And so there's not much that has happened in that family that I haven't been a part of it. And somehow just what it wasn't going to be right tomorrow morning with me not being there. And I thought, Lord, just got back from Arizona, but I want to make arrangements to go. So Kyle spent the day on the phone yesterday between her, because we were going to stream it here in the service tomorrow. But I said, no, I want to be there physically. I've been a part of everything that's gone on with that family for the last 35 years. And so they were, the girls and everybody was excited about Rose and I coming. I'm looking forward to it just to see them. And of course, he was on the board of Kenneth Copeland's ministry as well as Jerry Savelle. And both of them are scheduled to speak tomorrow, not eulogizing, because his pastor, who is Keith Moore, is going to do that. But they're both going to speak. And what was that, Kyle? They said about me being a part of the family. Make sure Auntie Sarah, I've been Auntie Sarah. This is the family where the little girls, when I first met the mother and father in Hawaii over 35 years ago, the children were not with them, was not with them in Hawaii at the time. But their maid brought them in at the end of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention. And Diane, being the good mother that she is, was trying to explain to them why God made people different color with different textures of hair and so forth. And so she was explaining how God made some people brown with kinky hair and Hawaiians brown with straight hair and all. And so she was doing the best she could with what she had to work with at the time. Anyway, that October is their Thanksgiving. And so Clinton and I decided we were going to go have Thanksgiving with Billy and Diane and the children. We got there, and Diane, the wife, was bringing the middle girl home from school one afternoon. And Pammy said, Mommy, I got it. I understand now. And Diane said, Pammy, what is it that you understand, sweetheart? And she said, God made Uncle Clint brown with kinky hair, and Auntie Sarah got her suntan in Hawaii. And so that's been the number one joke of all of the things that we've been a part of with them. Everybody has heard that story that knows Billy and Diane. So anyway, that you've heard me tell it here any number of times. Well, it's Pam's father, Billy, that passed. And he was only 3 years younger than I am. But anyway, they're eulogizing him tomorrow, and I just wanted to be there. And of course, I can't go anywhere these days without Miss Lady traveling with me. So She was not ready to make another trip right now, but she knew that because it was so important to me to go, that she would just have to adjust her schedule and mine, and so that's what she did, and I'm excited about that. Well, I recognize that today is Mother's Day, so I have to get out of here because we have a 4 o'clock plane to catch today because the funeral is at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I think that's the next to the last one out. The next plane is at 4:30. So if I can make the 4:30, we can make the 4 o'clock. Well, I thought we were having the 4:30, but turns out that that's not the case. All right. You know that there are three times a day I pray certain prayers, make certain confessions, and I have been impressed of the Lord that each time I get ready to share here at Redeeming Love Christian Center or anywhere else for that matter, that I should share those prayers and confessions with the people because I want you all to know how important it is for my life to go on as it's been going on with these confessions and prayers. So I'll start there, and then I'll give you what the Lord gave me as far as my message is concerned, and then kind of the history of how Mother's Day got started. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but forgive us. I'm sorry. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, forever. Amen. And then, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay. And then I go over to, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And from there I go to, I trust the Lord with all my heart. I do not lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge him because he directs my path. And from there I go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and it'll come back to me in just a minute. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that pertain unto life and godliness shall be given unto me. And I thank you, Lord. From there I go to Romans, the 4th chapter. I will never allow my faith to be staggered by doubt and unbelief, because I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then, God is working all things together for my good, because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. And then, God is pouring out his love in my heart by the Holy Ghost in Christ Jesus. And nothing will ever separate me from that love, neither height, nor depth, nor principalities and powers, not angels or demons, no heights or depths, nothing above the world, above this earth, nothing in the earth, nothing beneath the earth will ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come on me as a Gentile in Christ Jesus. And then, there's no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man. He will not suffer me to be tempted above that I'm able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that I'm able to bear it. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want nothing more in my life than to be pleasing to God for the rest of my life. Okay. So, those are my prayers each day, 3 times a day, when I wake up in the morning, midday, before I'm getting involved in the things that I need to do for the day, and before I go to bed last night. And so Rose got me up so early this morning, I really didn't have time to do it this morning, so we've done it now, and I'm thankful for that. Well, let me just take you to where I'm impressed that the Lord wants to take me today. I told you the message is chance, choice, and consequences. And so let's start off with the scriptures that talks about barrenness, of being barren, because there isn't a womb in this world that's been attached to a female that's satisfied without carrying a baby in it. And so Proverbs 30 verses 15 and 16, there are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it's enough: the grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that says not, it is enough. Fire is never going to stop burning anything as long as you put it on there. Okay? And the grave, I don't care how many bodies you put in there, they're always looking for more. And the barren womb is looking to be filled one day. Okay? Psalm 113, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:25. Thy father and mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and the proof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about chance, choice, and consequences. just about everything that we do involves chances, choices, which usually result in consequences. While I have made many choices in my life and I've taken many chances, some I had no control over. For example, over 115 years ago, Sidney Washington, who was my grandfather, a black man, and Lily Farley got together and physically produced Isom Washington, who became my father. And I had absolutely nothing to do with that. Who got together with Ernestine Rolack, who was my mother, some 30 years later, and physically produced me, Sarah Elizabeth Washington, an 8-pound, 8-ounce female. They had no way of knowing what I was going to be like, whether I was going to be a female or a male or anything about me. They just, you know, they took their chances and they made some choices, and they had to experience the consequences of getting me. And the reason I said they couldn't possibly know, because 2 years and 3 months earlier, they had produced an 11-pound, 13-ounce son, Shelton. My parents spent several years trying to instruct me on what to do, but there came a point when I would have to make my own choices. They no longer told me what to wear or eat. I started to choose where I could wanted to worship and who I would play with. And both of these carried consequences. Some of them were good and some of them were bad. You know, when you make those kind of choices and don't let your parents make them, some of them are good and some are bad. I did not have perfect parents with all the right answers, who were equipped from the beginning with the right formula on how to raise Sarah Elizabeth Washington. Their formula at best was flawed. According to God's plan for them, in order that the consequences are favorable for the children. That's the reason he gives parents the right and the authority to do that. Okay. Though my mother was not perfect and made many mistakes in rearing me, for 42 years of my life, I never failed giving her a Mother's Day gift and card, and I never felt that she had to earn either of them. She was my mother, and therefore I always wanted to honor her on both her birthday and Mother's Day. They were actually no more than about a week apart. Mother's Day was always the second Sunday in May, and her birthday was the 17th. Which, depending on what date the Mother's Day fell on, could determine what day her birthday was going to be. But they were always so close together, and I wanted to always honor her on those two special days. I felt that I had to come up with an... I did not feel that I had to come up with an elaborate or expensive gift. Most of the time, I only spent a couple of dollars on her gifts, and that was often a challenge because she was worth much more than that to me, but my attitude and my pocketbook said that I couldn't do any better. However, it was to give what I could afford and oppose, not as opposed to her value. And that bothers me today. I see mothers, young mothers, middle-aged mothers, and old mothers. They don't even get a telephone call from their children, let alone a gift. There wasn't a holiday going to go by. Those two holidays, as far as I'm concerned, weren't going to go by without me giving Mother something, and like I said, most of the time, it was very inexpensive. For instance, I used to give her lace. She loved lace handkerchiefs when she went to church on Sunday, so I could get a handkerchief for $2 or a candy dish, a small umbrella, or a pair of gloves, a half slip, or ashtrays, whatnots, or doodads. But she was going to get something. One year I gave her a mother pearl brooch with her name on it in gold lettering. It was, I only paid $1.98 plus tax for it. And she wore it for years to church before she forgot to remove it, before sending the garment to the cleaners. You would have thought that I had given her a $10,000 item. She valued everything that I gave her. When she passed in 1982, she still had many, if not most, of her gifts that I had given her. I believe my brother still has them in his apartment. I have not requested them back because I have so many doodads and whatnots in my own apartment. I don't need anything else to be dusted. I got joy when I gave them to her, regardless of the cost. I remember getting an umbrella one time for $1.50, and that was exciting as far as I was concerned. Okay. She made everything that I gave her special as she was growing older. And I was fortunate enough to keep her as I grew older and began to prosper in new clothes and anything else that she desired. I'd given her an automobile one time. And then I decided, I got impressed in my spirit one day. Why don't you just stop your mother from working? She's been scrubbing and waxing other people's floors and washing their windows and doing their laundry all of her life. Why don't you just, you spend more money on newspapers and cigarettes in a week than she earns. So why don't you just sit her down and stop her from working? And then I called up and told her that that's exactly what I was going to do. That she would give them a 2 weeks notice, but she was going to, and some of them she had been with for 35 years. But she was to give them 2 weeks notice because I was going to start sending her a check every week that was in excess of her salary, okay? Believe me, her latter years were better than her former because she had raised up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mother has been asleep now for about 32 years, and I regret that she's no longer here with me so that I can shop with her and for her. But the memories that I have are so priceless. My suggestion to each of you today is that you honor your mother. Make it an ongoing thing and not just a Mother's Day event. However, on Mother's Day, do your best to never let the day go by without providing her with some form of expression of your love for her. It doesn't have to be monetary, but it should be something, okay? All right. Let me give you a little history on how Mother's Day got started and what it was intended to be and not intended to be. Mother's Day is celebrated, is a celebration honoring mothers and motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. It is celebrated on various days in many parts of the world. The celebration of Mother's Day began in the United States in the early 20th century. The modern American holiday of America's of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 when a woman named Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother in West Virginia. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States began in 1905, the year her beloved mother, Ann Rivas Jarvis, died. Anna's mission was to honor her own mother by continuing work she had started and to set aside to honor mothers, a day she had set aside to honor mothers. The person who had done more for you than anybody else in the world is your mother. Okay. Anna's mother, Ann Jarvis, was a peace activist who had cared for wounded soldiers in both sides of the Civil War and created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Due to the campaign effort of Anna Jarvis, several states officially recognized Mother's Day. The first in 10 being West Virginia, Anna Jarvis's hometown, a home state. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed the proclamation creating Mother's Day the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers. Although Jarvis was successful in founding Mother's Day, she became resentful of the commercialization and angry that companies would profit from the holiday. In early 1920, Hallmark and other companies had started selling Mother's Day cards. Jarvis became so embittered by what she saw as a misinterpretation and exploitation that she protested and even tried to rescind Mother's Day. The holiday she had worked so hard for was supposed to be about sentiment, not profit. Jarvis organized boycotts and threatened lawsuits to try to stop the commercialization. She crashed a candy makers convention in Philadelphia in 1923. 2 years later, she protested at a confab of the American War Mothers, which raised money by selling carnations, the flower associated with Mother's Day, and was arrested for disturbing the peace. So you see, Anna Jarvis took some chances, made some choices, but she also suffered some consequences, even when she tried to get it changed back to what she originally wanted it to be. And that's what you have to stand up for what you believe in, and you have to be willing to suffer the consequences for what is not acceptable to you. And I'm here with you today to tell you that I would give anything. There are moments when I think of my mother, and we had some hot and heated moments together, but we've had some of the most precious moments that I can reflect in my life, and I am so grateful. My children often tell me now, they thank me for how I brought them up, and I have to stop at that moment and thank God for how Ernestine Rolack Washington Yarrell brought me up, because everything that I know about how to be a mother, or how to be a decent person, is as a result of the way she lived in front of me and the things that she taught me there came a point in my life when she couldn't make me do anything anymore. I had to decide to do it because it was the right thing and because it was what I wanted. But most of all, honoring her was the reason that I decided to make sure I lived as close a Christian life as I possibly could, because she certainly tried. Like I say, if she happened to, for whatever reason, stay home from church, didn't mean a thing where my brother and I were concerned. She had us dressed, and we had to walk to church. And I'd say where we had to walk to church would be at least from here to the Palisades Mall. Okay? And, of course, you could turn your children loose and let them by themselves walk that distance at that time. And we did. We left home every Sunday morning, no later than 9 o'clock. I mean, fully dressed. Because, for one thing, she got all of our clothes out and pressed and ready for us for first thing in the morning on Saturday night, or sometimes Saturday. It wasn't getting up Sunday morning having to get us together. We were together. The only thing we did on Sunday morning was eat our breakfast, because she, we got our baths on Saturday night in the number two wash tub in the kitchen. And some of you remember the galvanized tub that most of us were raised in. And I don't know if my granddaughter has ever even seen one, or it was a galvanized tub, metal tub. And Mother used to put kettles and pots on the stove in the kitchen on Saturday night to heat the water, and we all took turns taking our bath in the kitchen on Saturday night in these tubs. Then you have to empty it out so the next person could take. That was the only part about that I didn't particularly like. I did not appreciate having to dip that tub out until it was down enough for me to lift it up and pour it in the sink. But for the hot rolls that was on the table for breakfast on Sunday morning, and she'd get up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and put those rolls down to rise. And you could smell them rising. And then she'd pop them in the oven about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and they came. You didn't have just bacon and eggs or grits. You always had hot rolls to go with it, so it was all part of the consequences of being the daughter of Ernestine and Isom Washington. And I sit here today, having celebrated, been fortunate enough to celebrate my 77th birthday, and I praise God for the fact that she trained me and she taught me. And she loved me, and she spanked me, and she did all of it, because it all went together. If I goofed up, I messed up, there were consequences. But if I obeyed and did what she had required of me, but it wasn't just me that she did that to. I mean, anybody that, if you crossed her, you experienced her consequences. She was quite capable of consequences. One of my most vivid memories is my father, who, my parents separated when I was about 10 months old, and he drank heavily. My father looked like a Maharaji prince, and all the women in the neighborhood was willing to take care of him. They just weren't willing to take care of him and his children and his wife. And Daddy sometimes, there was a fish market on the corner of Brambleton and Cumberland. Mr., what's his name, Yarborough. And they used to hang out in front of that fish market. And because my father was a presser and a cleaner's, his clothes were always immaculate. His You know, he had creases in his pants and in his shirts and all. But he had a little problem with drinking occasionally, especially on Saturday. And this particular Saturday, he came by and unannounced. And Mother was boiling some water on the stove to get ready to scald some chickens for dinner for Sunday. And we always kept the back door open because we had a porch. The back door was always open, but we had a screen door that we kept locked. And Daddy came up and he was pulling on the screen door, wanting to come in. And Mother said to him, "Isom, go about your business. Don't bother me today. Just leave me alone." Yes, because you've been drinking and I don't want you coming here around the children when you're drinking. And he started rattling that door, almost trying to take it off the hinges, talking about, "This is you, my wife, and this is my house, and these are my children, and I can come here anytime I feel like I want." And also, she pleaded with him two or three times, you know, stop pulling on the door, because he was almost breaking the hook to get in on. And at one point, he took, having taken the chances and having made some dumb choices, she reached over on that stove and got this pot of boiling water that was intended for the chickens. And she dashed it through that screen door on him. And he went flying down the steps, the back steps, and down the street. And one of our neighbors, Miss Lucy Smallwood, said to him, "Isom, what are you doing so wet? What happened to you and all?" And he said, "My wife just tried to scald the hell out of me." Well, sometimes if they don't get it out of them any other way, that might have to be the way you do it. It's not the most Christian way. But she gave him several opportunities to go about his business and leave her and her children alone. Because she didn't, if he wanted to drink, that was his business. But she didn't want him coming by her house to see the children in that condition and all. And I'm very grateful because it helped me to know what to allow in front of my children and all. But I'm sure he remembered. Well, you know, I'm 77 and I remember that, and I couldn't have been more than 5 years old when she did it. But I can see her now picking up that pan of water and dashing it through the screen door. And, he went screaming down those steps and told Miss Smallwood, "My wife just tried to scald the hell out of me." Well, if you can't get the hell out of them one way, that is a suggestion that I don't thoroughly recommend, but today somebody could have you arrested, I suppose, for it. But in Mama's day, if you don't listen to what I ask you to do, then you suffer the kind of consequences that I'm familiar with. And she couldn't think of anything else. Here he's trying to break off the hooks on her back door, on her screen door. And so she just decided to do the next best thing she knew to do. So there are many different things that I observed my mother do. They weren't all Christian and they weren't all perfect. But they weren't all bad either. One thing about it, Daddy never came back to the house anymore drunk. One experience of that was all he needed. It's been my pleasure today to share with you some of the experiences in my life and some of the, but I want you to primarily think about chances, choices, and consequences. Because for every chance you take, for every choice you make, there's going to be a consequence, whether it's good or bad. And you'll have to determine whether or not it's going to be a good one. All right? Okay, so...